So managing that is very important because it builds trust. And that trust is incredibly valuable. And it's what makes whatever recommendation we have and whatever partner we bring on board, somebody that they believe in and that they rely on and that they trust is a good recommendation, because we only recommend things that we have either very extensively used or have been recommended multiple times by the community.
Imagine you have a Facebook group where you can share your ideas, products, and services with tens of thousands of raving fans every single day. The question is, how do you create a group and fill it with the right people that only you can serve and bring value to at the highest level? Join me as I set out to find the people who already have the most successful groups in every niche under the sun, to ask them what their secrets are, so we too can serve and bring value to those that are waiting for us to show up. My name is Usher Fried, and this is Facebook Group Secrets.
My name is Marc Pagès, and I am from Barcelona, which you can probably tell by the way I say my name. It's not Marc Pagès, it's actually Marc Pagès. And my group is Solo Female Travelers, and as the name indicates, it's about women who like or want to travel solo. And I make the distinction because some of the group members have traveled solo before, and they are really excited and they want to continue doing it. But a lot of them, around a third of them, may have never traveled solo before, but really want to start, and that's why they joined the group.
Okay, wow. Welcome to the podcast, Mar. First of all, you should just know that my first question was going to be, you know, you have such a large group. Why is your name Pages and not Group, you know?
Yeah, some people think it's a pen name, you know. It's interesting because I'm a writer. So people assume that Marc Pagès, it's a pen name that I invented. But actually, no, it's Marc Pagès. In fact, it's Maria del Mar Pagès Vidal, which is a very long name.
Okay, I mean, so it's a great name. You know, you could switch it off. When you're on Facebook, you just tell people my name is Pages. That's how good I don't know how well that will go over, but...
people assume it's a pen name, but actually no, Pagès means farmer in Catalan, so it's nothing to do with writing.
So let me see if I can say that correctly. Mar Pagès.
Yes, correct. As if you were saying it in French. Yeah.
Nice. All right, fine. So it's a very cool group, Solo Female Travelers. So what's the idea behind the solo female travel? Like you mentioned just now, that a third of people want to travel solo. So, you know, for me, I never even thought about traveling solo versus just with a friend. I would just travel with a friend because it's better to be together. But so what's the idea behind this solo traveling?
So this group was started by a friend of ours, of me and my co-admin, Meg Gerard. We didn't start the group. The group was started in July 2015, so it's more than 5 years old now. And she is a travel blogger that she writes about solo female travel only. So she started this group to find a community of other women, and me and Meg have been part of the group since the beginning. And in January this year, it started to grow like crazy, and she realized that she couldn't handle it. And so we discussed whether we would take it over and like kind of manage it from her, and we did so. But the idea of solo female travelers is that a lot of women travel solo, not necessarily because they want to, although a lot of them do. They just proactively prefer to travel on their own for many reasons that I will touch upon now. But a lot of them find themselves traveling solo because of an accident. Let's say you're about to go on a trip with a friend, and then suddenly the friend cannot go with you anymore. And then last minute you decide, you know, like, I'm just going to do it. And then you just go on your own, and then you find yourself traveling alone. And so that first experience for the majority of women becomes a very positive one. And so they realize that they want to continue doing it again. And a lot of them actually travel solo because they prefer it, right? And I say this because a couple of days ago, I ran a poll in the group, and I asked women, like, what have you learned from traveling solo? And it always comes forward that the number one reason why they do it is because of feeling empowered, self-confidence, learning about yourself, being much more integrated with the places that you're visiting, meeting more people when you're alone, being able to observe and learn and observe everything that happens around you much more when you don't have somebody that's distracting you and somebody that you have a conversation with. But for a lot of women, it's this empowerment, this self-confidence, this realizing that, hey, I can do it, you know, I can do it, I can go on my own, and I'm not afraid, and I can do this. And I don't need somebody to help me plan, and I don't need company. I can sit for dinner or sit for breakfast or sit for lunch alone and meet people. And, you know, it's completely fine to do that. So that self-realization, that empowerment is a very powerful reason why women travel on their own. But a lot of them just find themselves in that situation because they don't have a friend to go with, right? Maybe they don't have friends that have similar interests or similar financial means or similar holiday that overlaps. You know, their holiday times do not overlap, and so they can never find somebody to go with, or they have more holidays than their friends because they're a teacher, for example, or they were planning to go with a friend that then just stood them up. So it's like, it's a variety of reasons. And I would say around a third haven't done it, but really want to. A third didn't do it the first time proactively, but they kind of fell into that situation. And a third really wanted to because, well, they just wanted to, right? Like, I am a good example of that. I travel on my own because I want to.
Wow. So when I first saw your group or heard about your group, I thought like, okay, you know, we interviewed someone with a traveling group as well. Scott's Cheap Flights has a traveling group. Mm-hmm. And I saw that and people post pictures of where they went. So I figured that your group was similar to that, just for women that are traveling by themselves, right? But now that you said that, your group is not similar to that at all.
No.
Your group is more similar to self-empowerment, self-confidence, independence. It's closer to that than anything else by far. Like, right. I wouldn't even consider your group like a traveling group. It would be more like a self-fulfillment group.
We say that we empower women to travel on their own. So that's kind of the way we describe it. And I think that's very suitable to what it actually is. We empower women. A lot of women join the group because they might have heard about solo travel and they really want to do it, but they haven't got the guts or the power or the self-confidence or the belief in themselves to do it. Or for a lot of them, and bear in mind, this is a very global group with more than 100 nationalities. For a lot of them, it's also that their society that they live in, their parents, their husbands, do not let them travel solo, or don't think that it's acceptable, or don't think that it is respectable, or that it's safe. And so this lack of people around you that actually support that idea or that believe that that's something that you can do means that they have to find a community elsewhere. And so this online community helps to empower them, encourage them, make them feel like they're not alone and they are not weird and what they want is not, you know. And I could go further and like say in some cases, a lot of women will come and they will tell us that, hey, you know, like my parents or my husband or my boyfriend or my society thinks that I am crazy and that it is dishonorable to travel on your own, that a woman should not travel on their own, or that it is so unsafe that you'll be raped and you'll be killed. Right. So all of these perceptions that everybody has, I think it's like you, I also laughed about it, but actually it's incredibly pervasive.
Yeah, this feeling, I shouldn't laugh. I don't know if that.
No, but it is true. Like, it seems excessive, but actually it is true. Like, a lot of them are told that this is a very pervasive misconception, even in Western countries. This is not about talking about conservative societies where, you know, women have a different type of role. I'm talking about Europeans, right? Or Americans, that their parents will tell them, you shouldn't travel on your own because it's not safe. And the world is very unsafe out there. And if you travel, you put yourself in a position where you can be raped and robbed.
Right, right. Very interesting. So I just wanted to point out, because I think you're leaving us with a pretty powerful lesson that, you know, people want to start groups. And I believe, and the more admins I speak to, the more I see it, that people start backwards. They think about what type of topic they want to talk about, which, again, it could work, right? Scott's Cheap Flights works very nicely, and it's just about traveling. And they fill a need, they fill a void. But you guys fill such a big void in such a deep emotional place that you're most probably the only group that does such a specific, such a niche topic, and that topic is women empowerment through traveling solo. That's what it is. Your group is a women empowerment group. And guess what? There are 1,000 women empowerment groups, right? But none of them, I highly doubt any of them, and I'm like talking as if I searched on Facebook before we spoke, which I didn't, but I highly doubt any of them teach self-empowerment through traveling solo, right?
Actually, there are a few. Oh! I think because you're a man, you probably have not been exposed too much to those things. And it is not, it is, in recent times, it's becoming a much more popular one. But although we are probably the first
global. I was in my zone over there. I was in my zone. I was like, oh my gosh, I have such a, you like popped my balloon. It was a fantastic feeling.
Yeah, sorry. But we are not the largest. There are actually groups that are larger about solo female travelers. We are not solo the largest. But we are the first one. So that's, I guess, what makes us different. And if you go to Facebook and you type solo female travel, you're going to see so many groups. So many. So ours is the only one that has the URL solo female travelers. And we put in between brackets the first group because we're trying to differentiate from others. But we are not the largest. In fact, one of the largest Facebook groups is on solo female travel. So yes, we are not the only one. But it still is, the community is really what makes this useful, right? Like the fact that you can be surrounded by other women. You can join travel groups and there's millions of travel groups, literally, right? It's one of the most popular topics on Facebook. But that's part of the community and the empowerment and the learning and the sharing of that sort of discussion is what makes it unique.
Right. 100%. I mean, it is a unique group, even if there are other groups like it. And I just, you know, for me, I guess you're right. It's because I just have no concept. If I was in a room with a bunch of women like talking like this, they would all be like rolling their eyes, like, you know, who has a shotgun? Take him down.
No, I'm sorry. But I will say though that what makes our group different from other solo female travels groups, and this is how we are trying to differentiate, and it's also because me and Meg are very much pro that, and we really believe that the empowerment part of it is not just a moniker, is not just a marketing slogan. We do believe that we want to do that, and we are doing our best to do that. What makes us different from the others is that we don't just share beautiful pictures with nice Instagram filters, which a lot of other groups end up being all about that. We allow the difficult conversations, and other groups will not allow those conversations because they are difficult to moderate and you need to be there, right? Every time that there is a difficult conversation in the group, either Meg or myself need to be there looking at that thread for hours on end until we decide to close comments, because conversations get heated up and people start to attack each other when you have a group that's so diverse. For every single opinion, when you have a group with 100 different countries, even if they are all women, whatever the topic is, you will have every single opinion in the spectrum, from both extreme opinions to everything in the middle. So it's difficult to moderate a discussion like that because people are sometimes on edge. These are difficult times as well. So a lot of people are going through tough times. And so they end up escalating really quickly. And other groups will simply not have those conversations because they're tough. They're tough to have and you need to moderate them. Whereas we actually pride ourselves in having those conversations. And that's how we differentiate from other groups, in providing real education, real learning opportunities, real thinking and like in-depth discussions about topics that are important to advance women in life in general, not just in travel.
Right. So it could be that I'm not so wrong, because the way you're describing the other solo female traveler groups, or at least some of them, is that it is just all about pictures, which makes it that it's just another version of Scott's Cheap Flights.
The other groups also do have a bit more of those type of discussions, but I would say they cut them shorter and they don't spend as much time moderating and bringing facts into the discussion. When I say actively moderating, I mean bringing facts into the discussion, making sure people discuss respectfully without resorting to like name calling and like insults. And we are very quick to remove people who cannot have such discussions. And we have actually done lots of sessions in the group, about 40 now, live sessions with experts on various topics, aimed at educating people on responsible travel, animal tourism, sustainable travel, zero waste travel, safety, self-defense, things like that, that maybe other groups don't do. In fact, I know for a fact other groups don't do.
Wow. Okay. So I'm not 100% wrong. So one second, let me just say travel community so I could put that in. Okay. So they all will discuss it a little bit. They'll discuss it more than they'll discuss it in travel community, but that is the focus of your group. The focus of your group is women empowerment, self-empowerment. It's that we empower you to travel solo so you can be self-empowered, right?
Yeah, we try to give the tools and the education and the learning so that you feel more empowered and you feel like you have the right tools to be able to travel safer, longer, and better.
Right. So you're not helping people travel, you're helping people feel empowered. And the way you're helping people feel empowered is by helping them travel. I was wrong, but the point I want to bring out is that I think that you have a tremendous advantage over anyone whose focus is not on what your focus is. Because first of all, people are for sure passionate about your group. Your group is helping people on a much deeper emotional level than just a regular travel group. And also, you know, if you want to monetize a traveling group, so the way I would tell someone to monetize a traveling group is, you know, flights, hotels, you know, traveling gear and things like that. But look what you have. You have a platform of, you know, self-help off of a traveling group, and the options for you to service your members and to help them is just so much more vast and is so much more deep than just traveling. You know, helping people travel is nice. What your mission is much more, it's much deeper and much more meaningful than just helping people travel. And therefore, you're going to get members that are more excited and more loyal about your group. And plus, you'll have more opportunities to help them in different areas that aren't even really connected to travel.
Correct. And that's the hope. The hope is that our members realize that we are different because we have the conversations that others don't have, and because they learn things from our group and from the sessions that we do and from the conversations that are being had that they may not learn in other places. And through that, they will feel more empowered and more ready and more self-confident to travel on their own and then earn right. all the benefits that come through that.
Your mission is to help people. I'm just saying that's clear. I'm just saying your mission is to help people feel empowered, and you're doing that through helping them travel. Do you get the feedback from your members that they do feel empowered through your group?
Yes, obviously, like we have from time to time, lots of members who will say like, oh, you know, I just took my first trip and thank you so much to the community because you gave me the encouragement that I needed to do it and to believe that I could do it and that I wasn't alone and that I'm not the only one that does that. And so this feeling of community and the fact that, hey, I join a group of people who feel like me. And so I feel like I belong now, right? So this feeling of belonging and then the encouragement and the support that comes through that has helped them go on their first trip. We do see that a lot. Obviously now for the last 8 months, there's not a lot of travel happening, but yes, we still see that quite a lot.
Right. So, you know, the reason why I focus on this aspect so much instead of, you know, just getting how did you grow your group, how, you know, what type of questions you ask and like strategies, because I think that this is the biggest thing that might go over someone's head, you know, the idea of what type of group you want to create and what, you know, kind of help you want to put out there on Facebook, when it's something like this that, you know, really affects a person's life on such a deep level, the chances of succeeding are just so much higher because the need is so big. There's such a big need for it. Instead of like, how to make your bed. I don't know. How to clean your house, right? So like how to clean your house is very nice. But if it's how to clean your house so you could live a better life, so that's, you know, much more meaningful. If it's something beyond the actual group, and the group is just like a way of getting to a deeper thing, so then I think that first of all, it gives you more courage and passion and willpower to keep going through because your mission is so big. And second of all, I think people connect with it and it just takes off. I mean, that's what I think, and that, you know, and that's why I started, you know, focusing more on this aspect, even though it's really not related to Facebook groups more than it is to building a company. But I do think that in the conversation of building Facebook groups, this conversation does get skipped over a lot. It's like, pick something you're good at, pick something you know how to do. And everyone tries to think like, whoa, what am I good at? Maybe instead try to think, I would never be able to think of this need, obviously, because I'm not a woman. I know a few of them, but they've never confided in me this, you know, this thing. But basically when you pick a need that is, you know, a huge gap in people's hearts and that they want to accomplish, I think that your group is starting off on the strongest foot possible.
And when you put the lens, you know, like you say that you didn't realize that there was such a big need for that. Even me, myself, I have been to maybe 40 countries on my own. But I also never realized how big of a need there was until I took over the group and until I realized the variety of, you know, motivations and issues and restrictions that other women have, right? So one of the first things that we did around March and April this year was actually create a mini documentary to kind of launch the website that goes with the group. So we interviewed 28 women from different age groups, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and different countries. So we had 28 women from like New Zealand to the US, and we interviewed women from Iraq and India and, you know, in Jordan and all the European countries and the US and Latin America and South Africa and all sorts of countries in Asia. And so we had a really huge array of women, and it's a mini documentary that's 28 minutes where we ask them 10 questions. And when I was the one that did all the interviews and that did all the recordings and that edited the video, which was quite an undertaking. But through that, I also realized how different other parts of the world are to me. Right, I am a very specific type of solo female traveler that unfortunately is not representative of the majority. And so I'd never realized how many problems other women had to do what I was doing. What to me comes natural because A, I have the financial means, I have the society support to do that. Like my partner I mean, he would never stop me from traveling, right? He knows that that would be the end of our relationship. I have not.
It would be like, all right, bye. I'm going good. I'm going for good now.
It's who I am, right? Yeah. So there's no, I don't have any societal restrictions. My friends don't think I'm crazy. Lots of them do it as well. My parents don't think I'm crazy. Nobody ever told me like, oh, you know, like occasionally my mother would worry, but if I'm going to Somalia, you know, she would worry. She doesn't worry if I'm going somewhere normal. She worries the same way she would worry if I was a boy, right? She doesn't treat me differently because I'm a woman. So right. Like all of these things, I have the education, I have the perspective, I have the knowledge, I've worked and traveled to 120 countries. My situation is not very representative of the average woman out there. So when I interviewed all these women, and now that obviously our group has 72,000 members, back in January it had 15,000, so it has grown significantly, right? Now we have this array of situations and personal circumstances that show how difficult it is for the vast majority of women to travel on their own. And it wasn't for me, it is not for Megan, right? She actually met her husband climbing Kilimanjaro on her own, right? Wow. So, like, I mean, we were clearly not representative, right? We are well off, we come from societies that are open, we are educated, and we have the financial means. So we don't have any problems. Yes, we need to worry a little bit more, but I actually don't go out thinking when I travel, like, oh my God, I'm a woman, so, you know, what if I get robbed? What if I get attacked? I do get more attention than a man if I'm going to certain places, just because in a lot of places women get a lot of attention, but I never felt scared, I never felt worried. And so a lot of these things to me became second nature, and I never questioned them until I took over the group and until we did this documentary talking to so many women. I had 30 hours of footage, right, of interviewing women from all walks of life, women who were 60 and had grown up children, women who had babies, women who were divorced, who were widowed, who were from really conservative societies. I mean, Iraq, I mean, does it get any more specific than traveling solo as a mother, as a single mother from Iraq, right? Already from a visa point of view. Like, I don't need visas to most places. I have a Spanish passport. Aside from COVID, usually a Spanish passport is a really powerful passport. So I don't have limitations even from a passport point of view. So it's just like when you start to dig in and to understand the reality of the 99% of the women out there, they're not like me, right? So this mission becomes even more valuable. It becomes even more important because it is a real mission that somebody needs to take. So when I say that we try to empower women to travel better, safer, and longer, these are three very well chosen words. We want to help them travel better, so more sustainably, more responsibly, more aware of the environment, more respectful of the local communities. We want to help them travel safer, so that for a lot of them, this safety is the number one reason for any woman to travel solo. That's the number one worry. That's the number one reason why a lot of women don't do it. So we try to give them self-defense tips. We try to give them this encouragement and this awareness of try to not get into difficult or dangerous situations and kind of prepare so that if it happens, you know what to do, right? And then travel longer. So make sure that you can travel on a budget, that you find ways to save money to be able, if you want to travel for a long period of time, how to do that, right? So these three words are very well picked and very specifically picked, right? So we want to empower women to travel better, safer, and longer. And so everything that we do in the community is around those words and those topics and that mission. Obviously, the community is led by the women in the community. We very rarely post, but me and Megan almost never post in the group, right? And almost never answer questions either, because other members answer them anyway. So it's very community driven. It's just that we try to steer the community with what we do to kind of get to that point. So if somebody has a question, we try to provide the resources so they can make up their own mind and choose their own point of view, rather than tell them, oh, you shouldn't go here because of this. We tell them, this is what you need to consider. And here are the resources for you to read about it and to educate yourself about it. And then, you know, consider whether you want to go there or do that or not.
Right, right. So this mini documentary, you said you used it to launch a website. Did you also use this to grow your group?
We published it online. It was on YouTube at the beginning. And we never actually uploaded it to Facebook. We just have been meaning to do it, but we haven't actually.
But did you put a link to the YouTube video to your group?
Yes,
to
you? The YouTube video has a link to the group. However, our YouTube channel is quite small. It has less than 500 subscribers, right? It's just like we need to prioritize certain things, and we haven't been able to prioritize.
Right. But I'm sure that documentary is very powerful.
Yes, it is. We have used a different video to promote the group because I'm a travel blogger before I became a community leader, and so is Megan. She's also a travel blogger, and my blog is 6.5 years old. Her blog is 8 years or something like that. So we've both been in this industry of content creation and travel blogging for a long time. We're quite well versed on content creation, putting together videos. I have a full-time employee who is a video editor, so he edits all these videos professionally. And so we used the second video that was part of our series of live sessions in the group. We interviewed the world's most traveled woman, and we created a small video for that that is 5 minutes long, which tells her story, like 50 years of traveling to every country and territory in the world. She's one of, I think, only three women to have accomplished that, and she's the one that has done it the most. She started in the 70s. And so she was a big inspiration for the group, and we had a session, an interview with her within the group, and then we created a smaller video of 5 minutes. And that one, yes, that one went relatively viral, and that brought us quite a few members coming into the group because of that. The documentary for us was more for the community themselves, to kind of, a lot of women watched the video and, like, you know, they said, like, you know, it brought tears to my eyes. That's the most common comment that we got. And so it was more for the community to empower them rather than as a marketing tool outside. Also, it's a longer form video, so it's less useful for making it go viral on social media. The second one of the world's most traveled woman, that one is much easier to make go viral and to use as a marketing material because it's only 5 minutes. And so we also created a press release around it. And so we tried to promote it in a lot of channels, and a lot of people shared it. So that one was built a lot of times and helped us a lot.
So you put that video on YouTube and it got shared, or did you put it on Facebook also?
We put it on Facebook. So it got shared a lot on Facebook. Okay, it's less easy to track the shares of YouTube because you don't really know.
Right. So I'm just saying, I don't think I ever discussed growing a group this way by, you know, putting a promo video on Facebook and connecting your group to that video. You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, we use that format a lot. In fact, getting content to go viral on the page to kind of attract women and others to join our group, that is like a tool that we use in quite a lot to grow our group, be it a video or be it memes or be it like funny quotes and things like that that people share a lot, is something that we are using.
So you first grow your page. And then,
yes, and you don't even need to have a huge page because people just share it, right? So they may not like your page, but they will then join your group anyway, you know, like even if they don't join the page, they hear about your group and then they're like, oh, you know, and if they interacted with your content, then it's more likely that Facebook will recommend it to them, I suppose. And so that's the hypothesis. So we just want people to interact with content that has the potential to go viral. And then, you know,
right. So I guess, you know, take us from the beginning. You know, I mean, you were in the group from the beginning and you said that it went up from 15,000 to 72,000 this year. So I guess take us to the beginning, how it started, if you were like there really in the beginning, what it was about, how it evolved. And I guess if you could help us understand what you did or what happened that helped it skyrocket this year from 15,000 to 72.
So the group was started by a friend of me and Meg, who is called Alea. And Alea is a solo female travel blogger as well. She's a long-term travel blogger. She's from the Philippines. And she started the community in July 2015 because I guess that she wanted to feel like she wasn't alone and she wanted to have a community of other women who traveled on their own, right? So she started it a little bit like that. And I would say she was relatively hands-off with the group for the 5 years, and it was a cozy community that had a lot of other women like her, and, like, you know, it was all quite cozy and quite small, if you want. And it was very non-moderated. You know, we didn't have post approval turned on. There wasn't a lot of spam. It was all very self-moderated and a nice community. But around December last year, Facebook started to seriously promote the group. We think this is what happened. Facebook started to promote the group and start to suggest it to other members to join. And so it started to grow exponentially. And so it added 10,000 between December and January. And then it started to grow a lot. And Alea decided, realized that she was moving to Belgium. She's from the Philippines originally, but her partner is from Belgium. So she moved to Belgium and she would have less time to manage the group. And the group was at a point where you either start to manage it actively and moderate it and keep it as a high quality group, or it will very quickly descend into spam. I guess she found herself in that inflection point where you either manage it and get involved, get hands on, and then you can get the group to grow in a quality manner, or if you just leave it as it is, it may or may not continue to grow, but it will eventually die because it will just be overtaken by spam. And so we were chatting with her, like, you know, like we would begin to take it over. It was the time when COVID was already hitting Asia, which is where I live, right? This was end of January. So already in Singapore, we had COVID. So we were early starters, early adopters of the pandemic, unfortunately. And so it became more apparent that we would be able to travel less. And I felt like, well, you know, it'd be a great opportunity to take over a community. I've always been a long-term solo traveler, even though that was not the focus of my blog. My blog is focused on luxury travel and places that nobody goes to, because this is the sort of travel that I used to do as a management consultant. And so that's what I always wrote about. However, I've always been a long-term solo traveler. I've been to more than 40 countries on my own. And this is an environment and a topic that I'm very familiar with and that I am very passionate about: women empowerment, female-owned businesses. And I've been angel investor and I've coached lots of female businesses. So I just realized, hey, you know, it would be a great opportunity to take over. And so I reached out to Meg, who is a friend of mine and also a blogger, and I felt like, you know, I can't do this on my own, but if you want, we can do it together. And so we didn't necessarily take it over thinking that we would grow it into a business or something. We just thought, like, you know, it's something that we can do and that maybe we can turn it into a business in some way or another to kind of justify the investment, but let's kind of take it over. And so we did. We took it over and Facebook continued to promote it and to recommend it to others. And then we took it over. In April, we launched the website. We launched all the other social media channels and so on. And the group continued to be promoted and we started to do lots of things to push it ourselves proactively. And so we have been tracking since April. We have been tracking the growth of the group and the growth of 10 other competitor groups. So as you can see, there's like lots of other female travel groups because we track 10 of them. And so we started to track them and we realized that we are overgrowing each and every single one of them. Like we grow faster than the competition since April. And it's not just because we get promoted more by Facebook. It's also because of all the things that we do in the group that probably push it higher in the search results when you're looking for such types of groups to join. And a lot of members do join us after searching proactively for a group on solo female travel,
right?
Then also get recommended by Facebook. And also we do lots of other things, including using the page to promote the group. We have our blogs that have very high traffic. I mean, my blog pre-pandemic received 500,000 visitors a month. And so we promote the group within our blogs as well. We speak at conferences. We do podcasts, we do all sorts of things like PR press releases. We put out lots of content out there. We use the website also to publish content. So we have around 20 different ways to grow the group that we have been working on proactively. But probably Facebook promotion is the number one reason. But I am pretty sure that Facebook promotes our group because of all the things that we do, right? Because it's engaged, because it's high quality, because people don't leave the group, because they don't report it, because, you know, because of all these things, because of all these reasons, we probably get suggested more and we get suggested higher up in the search results.
Right, right. So just to point out something, you're sort of helping people with a problem that you were an expert in, but you didn't even realize that there was such a thing to be an expert in this, right? You obviously, it could be you knew about solo female traveling and the idea and the concept, but you didn't realize until you did your mini doc how much of a need there is. And meanwhile, you're an expert solo female traveler with all the know-how on how to travel solo, what to do, where to get, how to be safe. And, you know, it was more of just not realizing the need for your expertise, which means that anyone who's listening to this or anyone who's walking the street might be an expert in something that they don't even realize they are an expert in.
Yeah, and I would say also that because this topic is very wide and there are lots of different personal circumstances, I am an expert in a specific type of solo travel. And so the value of the community, I think that if I would solo and on my own start a solo female travel website and business without the community, it wouldn't be as valuable because I have a very specific personal circumstance. And when I travel, I'm not concerned about the 90% of things women who travel solo are
exactly
concerned.
But you would never realize
the community feels that gap,
right? So I think that helps. I mean, certain people say that you have to like have the same problems as your members, you have to have struggled through them, but you know, that could work also. But so could, you know, just being an expert and knowing and having the confidence on how to do things that makes you just as fit, if not more fit, to help people. So a person doesn't even realize what he's good at. Like I was speaking to Lindsay Koshak for her group, Make It Fun Mom. It's like, it's a hard concept to explain. It's like fun local places.
Yeah.
She helps people find fun local places. So she takes amazing pictures that she just knows how to take pictures. And now people are asking her how to take pictures, right? So like a lot of times you don't even realize that you know you're good at something, but you know, until someone tells you. But the key is to try things and put yourself out there, and then, you know, you work backwards. Like, she now could help people take photographs with their iPhone, but her phone, she doesn't charge for it. She just shows people how to do it. But the point is, like, she would have never realized that, like, oh, this is a skill that people want to know. So same thing with you. You thought that maybe your main skill was to help people travel in luxury. But meanwhile, you also have the skill to help people just travel.
Yeah.
So
and community leaders, I think it's a little bit like a leader in a company, right? Like, the best leaders, in my opinion, are not the people who are the smartest or work the hardest or everything or anything that they individually have. The best leaders are those that surround themselves with the best team. And so exactly. This applies very much to a community. You don't have to be the be-all, end-all expert in the specific topic. You have to be knowledgeable, but you don't have to be knowledgeable on every single aspect of it. The value of the community and the value of a leader is to be able to steer the conversation and to surround themselves with the experts on every single aspect of it, right? So you need to be a visible leader. You need to know about what you're talking about, but you need to have other people in the community that fill in the gaps that you don't have. And they need to be in a safe space, and they need to support the same values and help you grow that community. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a community. You would just have a page, right? Or you would have an Instagram. If it was all about you and you were the expert, then it would be like that. And I believe that misses 90% of the value, is that the value is in the community and it's not in the person themselves. You can have groups that are around the person only, but eventually that person can never be an expert on everything. You have to surround yourselves with the right people.
Right. And what's better, asking one expert or asking 72,000 people that, you know, are well-rounded?
Right? Oh, absolutely. I would never, even if I was like your average, I don't know, your average female solo traveler out there, I would not be able to know about all the places in the world. Like, I am extensively traveled. However, I don't know 90% of the questions that are asked in the group, because I just haven't been everywhere. And the questions are sometimes very specific, you know. I am going to Miami next week and I want to know how to go from Miami airport to I don't know what other place. And I'm like, I have no idea, right? Like, there's no way I can know that. Only the person who lives there and who does that knows that, right? So sometimes the questions are really specific and I there's no way I have the answer to 90% of the questions that are being asked. And that's not the value. The value is not to get a random person who may have gone to Miami once to answer that question. The value is in having somebody who lives in Miami and travels often to answer that question. And so that's where the community comes in. You have local experts in every place, and that's where the value is, having right. local experts, not right, having right. someone who has traveled a lot.
Right, which I think people miss when they start their Facebook group. They're focusing on making themselves the authority, you know, and I think that even if they are successful, like you say, like they are successful and they sort of have their group is, you know, quote unquote, a page, basically, they are limited. They're one person. And I see from the different groups that I'm in that the groups that are, you know, the admin plays a role in facilitating more than authoritating, those groups are much more active and just much more resourceful.
And facilitating is really tough. It is like, it's not easy to moderate and to facilitate and to like enable the discussions in a group. It's really not easy at all, right? And that is a skill. It's a fine art to be able to do that in the best way without putting anybody down. Like, it is really complicated to deal with people, right? You're not dealing with machines.
Oh, tell me about it. People.
So it's quite tough, you know, it's quite tough. So it kind of teaches you a lot of things, and it teaches you to be, I always say, it teaches you to be a diplomat, right? And I am not a very diplomatic person, right? I'm Spanish. I am very to the point. That is my biggest flaw. I am not diplomatic.
That's great.
And so I have learned to be, you know, online. I am in my group. I am this diplomatic person who never puts anybody down and who
right.
says things in the best way, who chooses the right words to say things, who encourages dialogue, who encourages right. respectful conversation and respectful disagreement, right? So it teaches you a lot of these things, and not everybody is well suited to that role. It's a right. really tricky role, you know?
Right, right. It's interesting. It's not something that people focus on, you know? You know, in certain groups, the admin that runs the group is like barely ever seen. Like what you and Meg, you know, you say you don't post. Jody Sherrill runs a parenting in a tech world, and she, you know, more is maintaining the structure of the group than posting every, you know, all the content. She's helpful. She helps. She knows her stuff, but that's not her main role. Her main role is like what you're saying, is to maintain and enable the group to run. You mentioned that you did 20 different things, right? So could you like walk us through some of those things you know, I just wanted to point out that you said that you speak at conferences, you promote it, and I think that it is underrated that a great way to grow groups a lot of times is offline. You know, we had someone from the restaurant, you know, he's a foodie group. He promoted it, telling restaurants about it to come join and post content and promote their restaurants.
Yes, I remember your boat, the group about selling boats. That one was quite interesting that he said he put flyers in places, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's very interesting. It's not just about online. You know, a lot of people just focus online, and it could be I'm getting repetitive with this idea already, but there's so many more opportunities offline depending on what you're doing. Right. If you're an online marketing coach, so then maybe online is your best bet. But if it's anything but that, you know, if there's a offline world to whatever your service you're doing, it's the easiest way. I would think it's the easiest way to grow a group. Make a phone call. Tell them, you know, tell it. It depends on the group again. You know, it's very hard for me to give you an example. But with the RV group, he called RV dealers and he asked them to promote it to their customers. And they did. And his group grew. Right. So anyways. Yeah. Yes, I guess, could you tell us about the different methods that you used to grow?
Because we are both travel bloggers, and so we are already in the travel industry, right? So that's an industry that we are already working in full time, maybe not necessarily solo, but in the travel industry. And we're both women, so we're both quite strongly in the female entrepreneur. We're both women entrepreneurs, so we're all very strongly in the female entrepreneur community as well. So for us, networking in that space is something that comes natural, that we already had, but also that very much aligns with our mission, because we want to promote partners and companies and experts that are in that space as well. So networking in that space has given us opportunities for exposure as well. So for example, I mentioned the video that we did with the world's most traveled woman. I mentioned the video, the mini documentary that we did with the 28 women. Some of them, maybe three or four of them, were bloggers themselves, and so they helped us promote it as well. The majority were just regular solo female travelers. We also go to conferences and speak, like Meg last week spoke at a conference on women in travel, in the travel industry in Tasmania. She's based in Tasmania, and so she mentioned the group in there. Now, obviously, I am in this podcast and I'm talking about the group as well. We do speak at other conferences and we will talk about that group. In the last October and November are huge months for the travel industry to have all the conferences everywhere in the world. So in this month, we are having more than 50 meetings between Megan and myself of all these conferences, right? And we are promoting the group more like from a brand point of view, like talking to brands about the possibilities of working with us as a group and as a community. But obviously you are talking to a lot of women because the travel industry is very female focused, particularly if you're talking about marketing and PR roles, they are mostly women. And so a lot of them end up joining us. We also do a lot of live sessions in the group. We have done around 40 live sessions in the group, and that's a session with an expert that comes to talk about something that's relevant to the community, like responsible travel or a destination or the world's most traveled woman. And so this also gets reshared. These sessions are streamed into the page, not just into the group, but on the page, and the page is public. And so they also help us resharing that session, and so that it reaches more women. And so we do lots of things from like a networking and connecting with other companies and individuals who have a similar mission to ours. And through that, we partner with them and we like self-promote. In July, we also run a 5-year anniversary celebration where we run a giveaway through the whole month of July to celebrate that we turned 5. And so we had 15 prizes from 10 different companies, most of which were women-owned or women-focused. And so they helped us promote the giveaway and as a result, also the group. We are about to launch a survey of solo female travel trends that we will launch in 2 weeks. And that will also be very widely publicized and promoted by our media partners. And so that will help us promote the group further. So we do lots of things that are more of the just regular PR marketing sphere that a lot of people may not think of when they think about growing a group, just because we are online business owners and we are in the online and digital marketing and travel space. We are very well versed in all of these things. And so we use all the tools available to us to promote a business online.
Right, which means that anybody who wants to promote their group should be thinking out of the box how they
can. Yeah, think about it as a business, you know. If that was a business, how would you promote it?
Exactly. It's the same thing. Exactly. Pretend that you have a store outside your house. You know, how would you get people there, right? So
and think who has the similar mission to yours and who would be genuinely interested in your community, either because they are their own customers as well. If you're a female-owned business that targets women, your community is their target market. And so how can you partner with them so that it's win-win with them and for you? And so how can you help each other, not just with other groups that might be interested in cross-promotion, but also with other businesses that have your shared mission? And so there is, beyond the marketing and financial benefit, there is a deeper, more meaningful connection because you have the same passion and the same mission. And that mission in the world of female empowerment and female businesses and female entrepreneurs and female investments and all of this is very strong because we all are here because we truly believe in that. And so a lot of women might want to promote you or your group just purely out of the goodwill of their hearts because they just genuinely believe in the mission. And we do the same. We promote businesses that have a mission that we believe in just purely because we believe in the mission, in not expecting any marketing payment in exchange, right?
Right, right. And going offline is advantageous to going online to cross-posting or, you know, collaborating online because everyone, you know, anyone who has a group knows about the idea of collaboration. People will agree, some people won't agree. You go offline, like the concept of social media and Facebook group, you know, when you're having a conversation, you say, I have an online community and I want to promote your place or your business in the community. Would you want to bring this community to your customers and let's, you know, help each other? It's a lot more refreshing and much more exciting. I've known this firsthand when I've spoken to people about promoting certain groups and I've called dealers or companies that are offline and told them about the online community. They got very excited. They're like, wow, you say you have an online community with tens of thousands of members of their potential customers. Of course they want in, right? Like, why not? Of course, like it's a no-brainer. But if you go online, it's like the person already has a community. It's just not as exciting.
A lot of people are not familiar with Facebook groups, like a lot. Now that I've had so many meetings with the travel industry, I would say the vast majority of people that I talk to, brands and travel brands, travel companies, have no idea what a private Facebook group is. And so they are not familiar with the concept at all. And when they hear about it, they are very excited. And then if you talk about it with women owned businesses that have a female empowerment mission, then the fit is just perfect, right? They totally want to empower you because they believe what you're doing is what they are doing as well. If you're in a similar space, but you're not competing directly, there is a very clear synergy that is win-win for everybody and that transcends a financial or a business objective. And so if you can find that sort of people that have your same mission and that share that passion and that belief in like advancing women or doing whatever it is that your business does, there's just a perfect fit and everybody wins. And your members win, obviously, right? Like this needs to be win-win-win.
Right. Oh, I'm very into win-win-win.
It has to be a win for your community. We only bring things that we truly believe are a great product, a great company, and that our customers, our members will. Otherwise, that's a win-win-lose, right? That's never
going to work. Right, right. Obviously, it has to be good. It has to be for your members' best interest. Otherwise, you know, nobody really wins. So yeah. I just wanted to...
Goes without saying.
Yeah, for sure. So I just wanted to point out another advantage to the way... you know, serving people on a deeper level, if your group is just about traveling, so then I would guess it's harder to find companies that are similar but are not competing because, you know, everyone's in the travel industry. I guess you could find people that sell travel gear. You know, you promote traveling and people sell travel gear, or you could speak to hotels. I guess you could network on that level, but I think the opportunity for you is whatever I just mentioned. You know, you could connect with hotels, you can connect with apparel, travel apparel, and flights. Plus, you have this whole deeper network of people that you share the community with of female empowerment that have businesses that are just not even related to traveling at all that for sure would come in, get excited to join you on your mission. It just makes your networking that much more vast.
Yeah. In fact, we compete with very few travel businesses because we don't sell anything. Actually, our members are the customer of any travel business. So it's a perfect fit for any travel brand, and it's a perfect fit for any female empowerment society, organization, NGO, social enterprise, or business. So we actually have the customers of any brand out there because every company in this world, except for the ones that sell, you know, beard-related products, are kind of targeting women in some way or another. And if you're talking about the travel industry, 70 or 80% of the bookings are made by women, even when it's a family trip or when it's a couple trip,
100%. Right? That's how it is in my household.
So women are. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And that is proven by data, right? Like women book 80% of travel. So our customers are the target audience of any travel business. They are also the target audience of any female empowerment business. They are also the target audience of any female social enterprise, right? So if you think about anything that a woman needs when traveling, in a wide sense of the way, you're talking about self-defense or personal alarms or anything that has to do with the safety component of it. You're talking about anything that has to do with booking travel and tours and companies that sell tours and like private tours or organized tours or group tours or things like that. So there's like anybody on that aspect. Then there's also books for women or anybody who is an author. You have any NGO that's related to women in any sense of the word, right? And there's so many NGOs that are focused on women and children. And so you just have such a wide array of potential partners. And because we don't sell anything, we don't compete with anyone. If anything, we will need to partner with all these companies to even sell anything. So if we want to organize group tours, which was in the plans for this year, pre-pandemic, we would have to partner with one of these companies to offer these tours. And so we just have the customers that everybody wants.
And it's customers that trust you and love you because you've been there for them on such, you know, on a, such a deep level. And there's no reason for them not to trust you because you've been so good to them.
Yes. The trust in the community is super important. And I think a lot of community leaders like underestimate the value and the importance of moderation to build that trust, especially for a topic like this, right? For a topic where encouragement, social rejection and like preconceptions and stereotypes are so strong. The keeping the community safe and keeping, you know, petty name calling, sarcasm, right, insults and all of and abuse and bullying off the community is incredibly critical, right? You can very quickly lose the community if you stop moderating for a week, right? That's why when Alea realized back in January that, hey, either somebody takes this over and takes care of it, or it will very quickly descend into spam and into bullying online, right? So managing that is very important because it builds trust. And that trust is incredibly valuable. And it's what makes whatever recommendation we have and whatever partner we bring on board, somebody that they believe in and that they rely on and that they trust is a good recommendation, because we only recommend things that we have either very extensively used or have been recommended multiple times by the community,
right?
Like many, many times, right? So we know that it's something that we can believe in and that we know that we align with the mission of that company. So it's not just what they sell, it's also that as a company is something we can get behind.
Right, right. So when you say that you speak to companies about your group, so could you give us maybe an example or two of a company you spoke to and how that went and how you introduced your online community and how you positioned it to them and how it has worked for you?
So for example, a clear example is G-Adventures. G-Adventures is a Canadian travel company. It's a 40-year-old company. They specialize in sustainable and responsible travel, and they are a huge company, right? They have 1,600 different tours you can book on. They are not female-owned, but they are in fact owned by the founder, who is a man. But it is something that they have a very strong focus on female communities and female empowerment because they have an arm that is an NGO that does a lot of local projects that they link to the tour. So for example, they'll have a women community doing, I don't know, setting up a restaurant in some place. And so all the travelers that go to that destination, they'll stop at the restaurant to have lunch, or they'll train women in India to be the taxi drivers that transfer the guests when they arrive in Delhi every year and so on. So they do like lots of things that we align with the mission, even though it's not female owned and it's not necessarily female focused because they don't run women only tours, but 70% of their customers are female. That's what they told us, right? So women are their number one customers, and they have a lot of solo women, and they don't charge a single supplement. So it's a perfect fit. And the company gets recommended hundreds of times within our group, right? And every single time that it gets mentioned, it's always, always, always with a positive feedback. And so we knew, and I have never traveled with G-Adventures, but Meg has. That's how she met her husband at the top of Kilimanjaro, on a G-Adventure solo trip, right? So there's a nice story, yeah, from our own perspective. He has experienced, yeah, the company personally. And also it's a company that we can recommend, we can get behind, and our members love. And so we reached out to them to do something together. So when we were planning to do our female solo tours this year, we reached out to them to organize them with them because it's a company we can respect, and they have this sort of white label tour that you can tailor to your own needs. You can define your own tour and they kind of manage it and they put it together and they manage the logistics, right? We're not a travel company. So we would need to work with a partner to put that, right, that tour together. So we reached out to them and they were relatively familiar with how online groups work. They've organized such tours for other solo female travel bloggers that organize tours for their readers. And so they have like this white label product that they target at these sort of communities in a wide sense of the word.
Right.
And so we were discussing with them, we explained how it worked. Some of their members who are women joined our group and they are still members of the group. And so they can see for themselves what goes on in the group. They can see that it's a community that they can get behind and that they believe in. And so we started to work together on putting together these tours. We also got them to come live in the group and we had two live sessions with them. One was three trips in Africa. We know that Africa is a destination that a lot of our members want to go to. However, it's not easy to travel on your own. And I know because I've traveled extensively, it's really quite tough to travel alone in Africa. Just the logistics are hard to organize, women or not. And so you want to join a group, you just get to see many more things, right? So right. The Adventures has a lot of tours in Africa. And so we organized a session where they came to explain three of their tours in Africa that cover three different parts of Africa. And then we had another session with another of their employees that is in charge of Planetera, which is their NGO arm. And so she told us about how Planetera works, how to be a more responsible traveler, how to make sure that when you travel, you can have impact in the local communities and not just spend money that ends up going back to the country of origin and doesn't actually stay in the country, which is something that is very important to us, right? So she came on board, she gave us a lot of tips on how to do that. She explained how Planetera works and so on. And so we gave our members an insight into, okay, G-Adventures is a company that gets recommended a lot, that a lot of our members use. However, like, you know, let's understand actually, is it good? Is it something that you want to get behind by giving a little bit of a look behind the scenes of the company? And so we partner with them. We also are affiliates for them. So when somebody books a tour with them using our link, we will get a small commission from it. We were discussing pre-pandemic, obviously now everything is on hold, but pre-pandemic we were discussing to have a deeper partnership with them where they would give a specific discount only to our community and that we could promote. So we had a calendar that we were working on. For example, in June, we were going to promote this destination thinking that people book 4 to 6 months in advance. So, you know, what would they want to go to in December? And so in June, we might promote destination X, let's say Mexico. And for Mexico, if you book these five trips, you will get a specific discount just for being part of the community. So, you know, like we were just discussing with them lots of different ways that we could work together because it's a company that is win-win-win. We believe in, we have personally used it. It's beneficial for us because we will also be getting a small commission if people book through that link. And then they get it because they get the exposure or the access to our community that are already a community of members that have used and that are advocates for their brand. And our members receive this specific exclusive discount that they wouldn't find anywhere else.
Right. So I guess that's also how you monetize, right? So you're going to monetize by reaching out to other companies that, like what you said, you know, you're the point man or the point woman. You hook up with reputable companies that you trust, you know, like a mother giving her child over to a babysitter, right? So the mother's not giving over the child to someone she doesn't trust. She's giving over to someone she does trust. You're finding someone who could service your members and help them and that has a product already set up, and then you're taking a percentage of that, you know. So this way you're not being pulled in any direction because you really could pick anyone right now because you have such a community. Your community is the value, and that allows the members to win because that allows you to be able to pick. You're not desperate to like, oh, this company agreed to do a trip with my community, so you guys are, you know, oh, this company is great, right? You guys are really in the position of power. You and Meg are in position of power with your group that you have the luxury to pick out exactly who you want to work with.
Yes, correct. So we only recommend companies that we can get behind and that we would recommend to our friends. And so our members benefit from the fact that we do all this filtering process. And so we recommend them companies that they should genuinely consider. And so when we make that recommendation, they believe that we are making it because it is genuinely something we would recommend. And for all the effort that goes behind the scenes in negotiating a discount and getting something because of the power of community and the power of having a large potential customer base, they also benefit from having that discount. So usually we always try to partner with a brand that will give something to our members. If they don't give anything, it's much harder for us to recommend it to our members and to get them to use that company. When you give them something that benefits them, be it a discount or a specific offer, then they also have a much more incentive. They also benefit beyond just the pure recommendation. So if it's this like campaign that we were planning to run with G-Adventure, where every month we would promote a destination and they would agree to give a specific discount just to our members, we try to always get something that where they win and where we win. And sometimes that might end up being the fact that we just share our affiliate commission. So if they give 10% to say something, we would say, okay, we will take only 5 and then we want to pass the other 5 to our members.
Wow, very nice. Okay, very cool. So how many other types of businesses have you set this up with in regards to money? Like, so their obvious to set up tours, because that's traveling. Have you made any other relationships with companies that help you monetize the group?
So in the travel industry, you have a lot of affiliate companies mm-hmm. already that are existing there. So you don't actually even need to reach out to them. If we just wanted to be affiliates of Jet Ventures, we wouldn't have to reach out to the company at all. We can just go to Commission right. Junction, which is a platform, and then you just sign up for it and then you get approved and that's it. So we only reach out to the companies that we want to get a deeper relationship with. And we have done that with a few companies. We have done that with language learning apps, because language is something that is another side effect of traveling. You need to learn a language, or you might need to have a way to communicate locally if you don't speak the language. And so a lot of our members want to learn languages, and a lot of our members speak many languages. And so we reached out to a couple of companies that we tested and that we loved and that we thought were the best. And we agreed with them that they would provide a discount to our members for using them. And so that's a company called Mondly that has been awarded, it's relatively new, it has been awarded many prizes for their AI, a language learning component. And so it has a robot that you can talk to and have a conversation with that's really impressive. And I've tested it with Spanish, which is my native language, and my partner who is learning Spanish. So we have tested this extensively. Meg tested it in Japanese. So we have tested the app a lot before we recommended something. So if it's not something that's very widely and extensively recommended by our members, then it's something that we have tested extensively. And so we tested the app for about a month before we agreed that, okay, like if you're willing to give a discount to our members, we will recommend this when a question gets asked about what is the app that you use to learn a language. And we will still mention all the other options. So typically what would happen is that if somebody says, hey, I want to learn a language, what apps do you guys use? We will reply to the thread with everybody else that replies as well from the community. We might reply saying, hey, you can use Duolingo if you want something free and easy, but Duolingo will only get you to a specific level. We have this article that reviews all the language learning apps, because we have it. Rosetta is good for this. Babel is good for that. And Mondly is the one we recommend because it's amazing for the way they teach everything and also the way you can practice the speaking part of it. And if you want to try Mondly, here is our official link and you will get $10 discount or whatever it is, uh-huh. right? So we would just reply with giving all the options. And we usually give more than one option because generally there isn't just a one all be all exactly. for anything, right? When somebody asks for a group tour, we don't just say, Jet Ventures and here is our link. We actually will tell you, we have written an article with 20 different tour companies that focus on women travel. And here are all of them. And actually we don't get any commission from any of them except for Jet Ventures and Intrepid. The remaining 19 that are recommended in there, we actually don't get anything. It's just purely because we believe that these are options that depending on where you want to go and what you like, might be the suitable ones for you. And so we have put together this article because it's a commonly asked question. So we don't proactively push things. We actually give options and we tell people, if you like this, this is best for you. If you like that, that's best for you.
Wow, that is very impressive. One of the things I like about communities is that you don't get that just one answer from that one person. You get 20 or 100 different responses and you figure it out. But you're able to go ahead and pull yourself out of it and actually give those 20 responses as well, which I think is very impressive.
We do that with certain recurrent questions. When we see something that's recurrent and that is not easy to answer in a thread. If you ask, hey, what is your favorite tour company? You'll get 400 answers, right? This is a thread that ran this last week. Have you guys ever been on a tour on your own? And what did you think? 400 comments, right? Literally 400. It reached 30,000 members and it got 400 comments. And so it's hard to scroll through also because people may not actually explain why that's the best one, right? A lot of them, 25 of them, I counted them, 25 recommended Jet Ventures. But they didn't actually specifically say why it's better, right? And also a lot of women may not have anything to compare with. So they might just suggest Jet Ventures because they went with them and they had a great experience. But is it better from other options? Actually, you don't know because you've never tried other options, right? So in these articles, we try to gather the feedback from all the group members. We do all our own research. We might actually reach out to the company to understand things deeper. And we did. In this article that is female owned and female tour companies, we actually reached out to every single one of these companies. We put a call out in Hero, in Helper Reporter out, and we got answers from companies and we filtered through their answers. We had a conversation with them. So we actually did go through the lens of filtering everything. And we also considered all the feedback that we receive from all the group threads that are being asked. But when you post this question, you're unlikely to get something that's useful. You will get the first top of the funnel, right? You'll get 20 suggestions that you might want to look into deeper. And you'll see a theme that comes across, right? Like Jet Ventures, it's always recommended. Everybody has a good expectation. They don't charge a single supplement. You make a lot of friends. There are a lot of solo travelers. And this comes through in the responses. In the comments, you will hear people mentioning that, right? But then if you want to score through and actually look at all of this, you're going to spend quite a lot of time doing that, right? And members will do that and they will read the whole thread, but then they might also click through and read our article that summarizes everything in a table, that gives you the pros and cons, that tells you where each company goes to, how big are the groups, what are the prices, and so on. So that's kind of useful. And we do that for recurrent topics that come up over and over and over right. again. We did that with language apps. We did that for the tour companies. We did that for
travel insurance. So when the question gets asked again, you just post the article and you still let the conversation go? Yeah. Or you just...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. We let members always, because you never know, like a new company might come up as well, right. or like perceptions could change, right? A company that used to be great, particularly with the pandemic, maybe now it's closed. They don't do it anymore. They go bankrupt, or maybe they just stop being such a great company, right?
Right. And, you know, a big thing that people speak out is the repetitive questions. So they will have in the rules, please search the group before you ask. So that sounds like something you are...
And we have that rule as well.
Oh, you do have that rule.
It's one of our rules. Uh-huh, okay, yeah, yeah. We definitely have that rule. Because the same question keeps over and over and over and over and over. We don't necessarily approve them. We have post-approval on, so we choose what questions to allow. If it hasn't been asked in a while, we will allow it again because things change and because the group is growing a lot. So whatever question you answer you got when we were 20,000, it's not going to be the same when you have 70,000 opinions, right? So we do allow it from time to time. Otherwise, we will just decline it and direct people to the specific thread. What we have that has been very useful for us is we have a list of potential answers to questions that get asked a lot. And so we just post that thing and then we will just reject the post and direct them to the conversation, or we will tell them to please search. Usually we will give them the post with the most recent conversation. We also have content in Unity that we refer to, and we also use post topics to refer people to a specific post and just use that.
Right. I mean, with the Facebook group, there's a limited amount of organization that you could put together, and using the units and the post topics are two tools that could help you organize the info. You know, obviously on a website, you could do it much better, but, you know, you're not going to have all the people coming to your website.
Correct.
So it's much better than the Facebook group. So I wanted to ask you, I wanted to start focusing on this aspect more. Regarding the entry questions. So first of all, do you ask three questions and like, what are they? And I guess tell us the process. Did you always ask the same three questions? Have you played around with that? How has that helped you grow and engage your group?
We ask women where they heard about us. We ask them if they have ever traveled solo before. And if they have, for like how much they have traveled solo before, like never, but one, two, less than 10 times or more than 10 times. Mm-hmm. And we have fully automated the lead generation process part of it. This is something that was groundbreaking for us and it has saved us hours. This is like the number one tip that I have for anybody who has a group that is growing with more than 10 people.
The group leads?
Group leads is like, it literally changed our life. Because imagine the situation. Back in March, we were receiving like 1,000 new members a day. And we asked them for their email. So we were copy-pasting these 1,000 emails, right? We were spending 4 or 5 hours every single day. It was crazy, right? I would sit at 9 in the evening and I would spend until midnight copy-pasting. It was horrible. And it was time that I could have spent on anything else, right? And so, you know, the necessity made me search for an option to do that, right? And so we became huge fans of group leads, which automates all of this. So now I just click approve. I go through all of them. I reject people. I reject men, for example, to start with. I reject anybody who is like really new or who looks really spammy because, you know, because we don't want that sort of people in our group. I scan through all of them. And then once I know that, okay, like these are all the people I want to approve, I click approve all. And then everybody gets approved into the group. They get all tagged in a welcome message and they all get added to a spreadsheet. They get added to MailerLite. Their emails get added to MailerLite. And it all just happens with the click of a button.
Right. And what are your emails about?
Our emails are about tools that we have discovered or articles that we are writing, or, I mean, our newsletters have a specific format and they always usually have the same. So we will have a specific topic for the newsletter of that week. For example, if we take this week, the newsletter that went out on Wednesday was about a gift guide for her because the holiday season is approaching. We put together an article where we feature female-owned businesses with products that are targeted are solo female travelers. And so we put together 80 different gifts that are for women who travel solo. And so that was the main focus of the newsletter, 80 gifts for her. Then we have a section where we give an update on whatever news they might be happening that are just like pure updates and news. And then we have a section of in case you have missed it, where we highlight three, four, five different threads of the last week that might be of interest, like the most popular ones usually or interesting ones. So we direct them to those threads so that they can contribute to the discussion, or in case they missed it, they see. And then we have a section, a box at the bottom that mentions the live session that we might have that week. For example, this week we had a session on hiking in the eastern part of the US, northeastern part of the US, with a company that specializes in local guides, and it's a female-owned business and female-focused business. She came and she explained five hikes you can have in the Americas with quite a lot of focus on domestic travel in the US. She walked us through this. And so we highlight this.
That's also another great way to connect with another company is, you know, ask them to come live into the group and promote themselves. And then, you know, you could create a relationship just over that interview. And
correct.
Then you could work out a deal for your group instead of like being like, oh, I have an online group. You know, ask them like, hi, I have an online community about traveling. Would you be interested in coming in and promoting your business by giving a class to people who are interested in listening to you? It's very
correct.
Simple.
This is a little bit the strategy that we're using. We try to work with companies that are, again, are in that category of the win-win-win. So if it's, for example, the travel insurance company that we usually recommend because it has good coverage and it covers COVID, we ask them to come live in the group and explain what things should you look out for when you book travel insurance. The teaching English abroad company that we usually recommend when people ask questions around, I want to move abroad and teach English, or I want to teach English online, which is quite popular amongst a travel group. We ask them to come on board and talk for an hour about, hey, what should you know when you want to teach English abroad? What are the courses available? Mm-hmm. Do you need a certificate? Right. What should you expect? And so on. And so meanwhile, that's another example of a company that we give 10% discount to our members. If they use our link, we also get a commission when people book through our link. So we try to build these relationships with companies that are our partners and that we recommend. And another set of companies that we ask to come alive are either mostly individuals rather than companies that are inspirational and have an inspirational story. For example, last night, we were supposed to have a session with somebody who is a Doctors Without Borders employee. And she was coming to talk about what it's like to work for Doctors Without Borders. Unfortunately, she fell sick and we had to cancel the session, but we are going to reschedule it. And so we have these three types of live sessions. We have sessions that are inspirational in nature, women who have accomplished something interesting or who are pioneers in what they do or who have more of an inspirational story. We have sessions that are more like specific on a skill, like teaching English abroad or travel insurance and so on. And then we have a type of session that's more on the destination. So for example, what it's like to travel in India and how to organize a trip to India, because it's a popular destination, but women are really worried about traveling in India because of safety, or Morocco or Egypt or the Maldives. So we have these three types of sections only in the group. And we try to work with either partners or people who we strongly know are experts in the field.
Right, right. And when you ask them for their email address, what do you offer in return? The newsletter, or do you just straight up ask them for their email address?
For coming live in the group?
The entry questions. So you ask them for their email address, right?
Yeah. We ask, where have you heard about us? We send newsletters every week. Would you like to be part of it? And if you do, leave your email. And then have you traveled solo before?
How many people give you their email address? Do half?
Oh, quite a lot. Around 30, 40%.
Wow, that's very good.
Yeah. We also send deals. I actually forgot in the newsletter. We also sell deals and last minute offers. Only that because of the pandemic, that's become secondary and very rare right now. And we don't really promote travel too much. And so it's not really part of the newsletter. But when travel resumes, deals and offers and last minute offers will be a part of that.
And why do you ask how often they've traveled? What are you trying to gain from that?
Because we want to know how expert they are in the travel world. Because when travel resumes, we want to be able to send newsletters that are more personalized to you specifically. Mm. And so one of the ways to segment the members is to know how much of an expert they are in solo female travel.
Right, right. And the reason why you asked for how people heard about the group is just because you're curious to know what's working.
Yes, exactly. We want to know what's working. We want to know if they found out through our individual websites, of all the efforts that we do, what is the one that's proving to be most successful?
Exactly. Right. So that's very smart. And you're saying most of the answers are because Facebook suggested it?
Yeah, Facebook suggested it, or I was looking for groups to join, or a friend recommended me. Those are the largest ones, which I think it just makes sense, right? That's the majority of groups. When you're adding like 1,000 members per week, that's going to be the reason why you're adding so many.
Right. I'm saying like a conference is how many people, you know, a few hundred? I don't know. How big is the biggest one?
Yeah, correct. And no, and this year there haven't been real physical conferences, right? So a lot of what we would have done in conferences this year just didn't happen. So we kind of had that a bit less.
Right. And so since COVID, has your group quieted down a little bit? Has the conversation changed? Like, what has been the dynamic of your group? Because you can't travel, obviously, but the real need that you're coming to serve is obviously still there.
Yeah, the engagement and the amount of posts has declined, obviously, because we just don't have the posts about travel,
right,
which is the main purpose of the group, right? So the number one thing the group is about has disappeared. However, we still have 150,000 engagements a month, right? So the group is still very engaged for something that you can actually not do.
Right.
So it still is quite surprising. However, if you compare to pre-pandemic, I reckon that if we now would be in a normal situation scenario and people were traveling normally, we would probably be having 500,000 engagements a month. Because judging by what the engagement rate was before the pandemic hit, or like around March when still most of the world was traveling except for Asia, we would be having probably 500,000. So it is definitely lower than usual, and it will pick up significantly. But yeah, it still is very engaged considering that you can't really travel in most of the places.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think in the travel community, they also still, you know, had people posting. All right, because they had people posting of where they want to go once the pandemic is finished.
Yeah, I feel like the bucket list type of thing is a bit died down because now it's a really long time since we could travel, right? So at the beginning, yes, we had a lot of wish lists, a lot of previous trips. A lot of people still travel through the summer in Europe, and in the US, people continued to travel. But we do have less of that now because I think people are just tired of dreaming and they just want to plan. They don't want to dream anymore. Whatever bucket list they had, whatever dreams they had, they already shared them. Whatever previous trip they had, they already shared them. They are much more in the, I really want to travel now. Like, I don't want to dream about it anymore. I want to book.
Right.
I want to plan. So we have a lot of different types of conversations right now. More of the generic long-term planning trips or things related to safety or what are great tour companies to go on or how can I take my first trip? A lot of questions related to taking the first trip and like going on the first trip and organizing the first trip and what are the tips for these sort of things. A lot of women also planning for the future, like, you know, in March next year, I want to go here or where can I go for Christmas? A lot of questions related to the recent changes in Europe around COVID because a lot of countries in Europe have gone into lockdown again. And so there are some questions around the immediate changes. And I suppose for the holiday season, there will be holiday related questions as well.
Okay, fine. So thank you very much, Mar, for coming on. Loaded episode and a lot of stuff to think about.
I hope so. I hope that a lot of people will find some tips here that can apply to their own groups.
They'll definitely find some. They might even find a lot. Thank you very much. It was fascinating, that's for sure.
All right. Thanks, Asher. Great to meet you.
Hey there. I hope this episode helped you along with your journey. If you enjoyed, be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That's it for today. Take care, and I'll see you next time.